Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. In this episode, I will be discussing various things to do with combat and the English martial arts. But before we start, I'd like to go over a couple of things. Like, if you've got time to watch my YouTube channel and subscribe, it's called the Original English Martial Arts YouTube channel. And of course, please subscribe to my podcast, as there will be a lot of very good things coming out on it soon and talking about some very controversial subjects. So, let's get into the meat of the actual podcast. Over the past few months up at the English Martial Arts Club, I've been teaching purr kicking as part of pugilism, because anybody who knows anything about the history of old pugilism knows that the boxers kicked up to a certain time. Then different rules came in and certain things were banned or weren't allowed and were called foul. But they did kick and they did use purring, because the actual Devonian wrestlers, and up in Lancashire you had the purr kicking contests, which were really, really quite deadly. Quite a lot of people died from these actual shin kicking competitions. And of course the pugilists took advantage of learning this as part of their pugilistic arts. So I've been bringing it back slowly in the club, and we've found that it's very, very effective when combined with your hands-based system, which the pugilism is, and it combines with the art to make it so much more effective. And without it, you lose a hell of a lot of attacking force. Now, of course, to find the techniques and the stuff to do with purring, you have to do a lot of research. And when I say research, I don't mean sitting behind a computer, because although there's a lot of stuff on the computer, on the internet, not everything is on there, and you really have to go searching for this kind of stuff. The British Library is a really good place to start. Other than that, you have to travel to the places where it was actually used as a self-defense art or as a sport or as a way of settling local disputes. Now, I've done all that, so the information I've got is quite extensive, well, extensive for what there is. And I know that they use the toe of the shoe, the sole of the shoe, the side of the shoe, or boot, or foot. And the targets were the shins, either side of the shins, the knee, either side of the knee, the breadbasket and the solar plexus and the groin, as well as other areas in the of the leg which could be kicked. So all in all, it's not a very sophisticated art, but it's very brutal, very straightforward and direct, and works really, really well. It seems that most pugilism teachers today don't really know a lot of what they're talking about, because they've only got the manuals or used manuals that are online. They haven't actually joined a boxing club or any kind of practical fighting club to see what actually happens in the heat of the moment and when you get smashed in the face with a hand, a fisted hand. I mean, having little encounters throughout your life is nothing. You need to get into a gym and be hit by a boxer, taken down by wrestlers and kicked by people to know what it's really like, because otherwise you don't really know what you're talking about or what you're teaching, because you don't know if it works. You're just guessing. For the simple reason, you haven't had it done on you and you haven't had it done on anyone else near full contact. I've had my nose broken several times, fingers broken. My shins have been battered so badly that they were soft to the touch. It, you know, through the years training, you need to have gone through things that hurt you badly and still carry on, because that's how you get experience of the fight and how to use the true fight and how to use certain things and how you recognize not to use other things. Now, many people train with weapons and say you can't practice realistically because of the metal, then exchange them for wood and put your padding on and just whack each other as hard as you can. Then you'll soon find out how it feels to apply a technique properly and if it can actually be applied properly. Because while you're in the heat of the moment, you're attacking, that other person may be defending, backing off, or attacking you at the same time. So it's something to think about when you train, rather than just, you know, the old faders, whatever they're called, fiddles. Who cares? Okay, you just need to practice properly. not the way you think it should be done. You need to actually experience the fight before you start teaching people how to fight. Otherwise, it's the blind leading the blind. We know that training in the old days was very different to the way we train today. People are much more pussified than they were then because they worry about this and that. And, you know, they bring out, they sue you if they get a crack now and things like that. It's ridiculous. But you really need to experience or get someone in with that experience to show you what it's really like, because, you know, you need that experience to be a good teacher. But back to purring. Now, the thing about purring is, as a self-defense tool, because that's what it is, I mean, it can't be used any other way. Even when you go up to the Cotswolds and you go to the Olympics and watch the shin kickers there, it's quite good. It's quite fast, and sometimes they could get a good boot into someone's shin and they wrestle the person down and their shoulders touch the floor and that's it. They've won their bout. But I'm talking about real fighting, and we're talking about being able to use purr kicking to actually damage someone to the extent where they can't carry on or they can't walk, which is the thing that you've got to aim for. When you kick bad. You kick with the toe, stamp with the sole, and hit with the edges of the shoe as well, because they're the parts that do the most damage to the human body. And you've got to remember, the shins have a thin layer of skin over them. It can be stripped off. And you can also find arteries down there and major blood vessels. And that is why people die when they do this kind of art or did this kind of art. And people may think I preach a lot about doing it for the real world or the street and blah, blah, blah. But I'm only doing it because I want people to be safe. I want them to go out equipped with the tools to help them survive. And if it ever does come down to it, that you can protect your families. You know, because you're not always going to have your long sword with you. Most of the time when you go out, because you're in the UK, you have absolutely no weapons at all except what God gave you. So it's really a good idea to learn how to use them as well as you use your long sword or your quarterstaff or whatever. Because in simple terms, you are more likely to come up against a violent act in this day and age than you was, say, 20 years ago. In this day and age, people carry knives, every kind of weapon, push daggers, they carry CS gas, like everywhere. I mean, it's illegal in this country to have this stuff, but they get it. I've seen it when I've worked, and even screwdrivers, Stanley blades with penny between each blade, so the scar or the wound is really difficult to stitch up and leaves you with a really long scar and a visible one as well. You know, you've got to protect yourself and your families against things like that, if you can. And the way to do that is to train to and prepare for that. That is exactly what a martial art was for. It was for going into battle and defending yourself when you needed to. So if you're practicing a martial art, whether that be Hema or Oriental, your main focus, apart from enjoying yourself afterwards, going to the pub, having a laugh in the gym and banging weapons together, is to learn to defend yourself. And if you go in prison and you get funneled in and two or three people are on you and they shiv you like a chainsaw, boom, you're dead, you're wounded, you're maimed, and you're a target. People think there's no defense against this kind of attack. There is. But you've just got to practice and learn it, and you've got to have the mindset for it. When you practice in the gym, and I've said this before, it's nice being friendly outside, but when you're in there, you've got to train your mind as well as your body, which means when you're training with someone, no matter how friendly you are outside, you've got to think that any moment that person can pull out a knife, stab me in the eye, cut me throat, stab me in the heart. And that's how you've got to train, and that will teach you to switch on and off. That's that switch. And you really need to be able to do that kind of thing. Otherwise, you will be a victim, whether you like it or not. And if you're the man or the woman of the house and you're the victim, then everyone else is a victim as well, because you can't protect them. You know, imagine being in bed, waking up, seeing a large person standing over looking at your wife while you're in bed, or your girlfriend, or you see someone in your kid's room leaning over the cot or the bed. You know, what are you going to react? Most people would absolutely scream and shit themselves and cry their eyes out. And, you know, and do all manner of things except what they should be doing, which is fighting and defending. Because someone like that who breaks into your house and does that kind of thing is not coming to see if your child is all right and if they're sleeping well, or if your wife is all right and she's sleeping well. They're coming in for obviously evil intentions. Or you're out on the street, two or three people come up to you because you're dressing like an idiot. You have a man bun and a stupid beard, and you know, you have trousers up to your ankles. So you need to learn these skills more than anything and more than anyone else. But the simple reason is you're going to have to protect yourself and whoever's with you if they can't do it themselves. Because you've actually looked like a victim, because that is part of self-defense. Not looking like a victim, not walking like a victim, not acting like a victim, not dressing like a victim. You know, not being timid when you're out like a victim. You've got to be confident. You've got to hold your head up. You've got to look ahead so you can see what's in front of you and to the sides of you. You know, use your ears to put what's behind you. You know, make sure the people who are with you know you're capable of defending yourself, and that will give them confidence. You know, it's a really, really simple thing to do. Spend a couple of hours a day going through things. But remember, self-defense isn't just physical, it's mental. It's everything about you. You know, when you go out, if you're confident, people don't tend to approach you like that. If you're physically big, people do approach you because they feel like that's a challenge, and they'll knife you, stab you in the heart, come up behind you, stick it in the base of your skull. You know, reality. I mean, having worked as I have worked for many, many years on the door and as a bodyguard, the things that people will do to someone else, the brutality that they're capable of, is mind-boggling. So you've got to try and defend yourself against that. You know, self-defense is using your eyes, your ears, and that feeling you get. Self-defense is training hard and every week getting the shit kicked out of you till you get used to the feeling of being hit so your body doesn't freeze when you get hit or taken down or strangled or whatever. Self-defense is purely mind and body. You've got to learn how to look after yourself. Otherwise, what's the point? Now, we in the martial arts do that. We do awareness training. We train the mind, we train weapons, we train unarmed, we train standing up unarmed, we train grappling unarmed, we train on the floor unarmed, we train with weapons at all levels, at all distances, you know, and we do training exercises and drills that hopefully that I've experienced when I've been working and that I've seen happen, that people can use as learning tools to get out of things. You know, we have women at our gym who can now hit like a freight train, which is because of the correct training attitude and the proper training in body mechanics. You know, just hitting a bag isn't going to do it. And pretending you know what you're doing isn't going to help the person you're teaching it to. Once you give a person the skill of how to hit hard by using the floor, so the energy comes up through the legs, into the waist, into the arms, and out through the hands. And they expect then some of the shock to come back from the target into the hand, into the arm, into the body, and they can cope with that. Then you know you're on a winner. And then you need the conditioning for the hands and the conditioning for the body. You need certain things that will really, really make you tougher than the average person, because it's not the average person who's going to attack you. It's people who are hardened criminals or drug addicts or drunks or just idiots that do it and have got away with it. So that is why things like per kicking are so essential. Damage the legs, they can't walk, they can't chase you, they can't do anything because you've smashed their shins, you've cracked them in the groin and they're feeling ill, you've done them in the knees and their legs won't work properly again. So, you know, it's really important, if you're thinking about learning an art for self-defense, to choose an art that teaches you to attack the whole body as a vital point. Don't worry about the Chinese or the Japanese. There's 136 points. Don't worry. The whole body is a vulnerable point. Every muscle, every joint, everything. Okay? Look at it scientifically. Get out your anatomy book and you look at the body. And you see that every part of it is vulnerable if you use the right attack. remember, attack is the best form of defense sometimes. And, you know, if you're going into an unknown area, don't just get off the bus or drive out on park and start wandering about. No, think about it. Find out about the area before you go. Like if you were going to move house, you'd want to know what the area was like before you moved into it, wouldn't you? So you'd probably go there during the day. You'd go there during the night to see what it was like at night, see what the neighbours were like. You know, when you go out somewhere, you'd do the same kind of thing, you know. Have a look at it. See what people say about it. You know, is it a crime area? You know, is it a low crime area? Is it famous for any particular bloody kind of crime, like muggings or bag snatchers or rapes? You know, you've got to be able to do these things, you know, think logically about these things. And it is not paranoia. It's just good, sensible self-defense precautions. You know, it's not hard to do, and it takes 5-10 minutes. What's that out of your day? You know, you probably spend more time prattling about on Facebook than you would trying to help yourself out in this way, or the people you love in this way. You know, it's really great with HEMA people. I mean, they love the history. They love the actual doing of what they think the people in the past done. They buy all these lovely swords for £1,000 or whatever, and they oil it up and rub it on their body and whatever they do with them, and then they cut bits of straw with them, and they spend their time chatting and having a laugh with other HEMA people. But they don't spend a second thinking about how these arts were really used and what happens when you actually hit someone with a sharp blade. You know, look at my channel. I've done a little video on what happens, and there are pictures of the wounds that happen to people who get hit with blades or stabbed with things. You know, and it's really not pretty and it's not romantic. But out of that time, stop. Just think, say to your partner, well, you know, we do all this, we call it a martial art, but how do we defend ourselves against a couple of muggers with knives and the intent on ripping off your clothes and doing to you, you know, something absolutely disgusting? You know, how would we deal with that? Would we run back to the gym, grab our swords and try and get them? No, of course you wouldn't. You need to know how to do it for real at the time, that second. So please, you know, do something for yourself. Do something that will help you survive. Because the way things are going now, okay, I mean, especially in the area where I live, things are not good. And you need to be able to do this. You need to be able to walk out your door confident that you know, even if you get taken down, you're taking someone with you. You have got to have mental courage, not just physical skills, and physical skills to go with that mental courage. Okay, thank you. That's all from the English Martial Arts Podcast show for this podcast. And please tune in next time. We'll be talking about various weapons and weapons that aren't trained in much, such as the billhook, the threshold, and maybe the pitchfork as well. So goodbye and God bless.